We're coming out of a hazy shade of winter as seasons change, but have faith that you'll find the upcoming spring simply irresistible, as we're going to have nothing but a good time. Whatever part of the year it is, we're going to light the flame and roll with it on this all-new episode as we look forward to those endless summer nights. Hello and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. This is a podcast where we'll take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, be excited that you found us, as you are about to have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by someone who used to play bongos in the Miami Sound Machine. It is my good friend, Rob.
I've got a good pair of bongos.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this episode goes out to all of our listeners with some sort of self-esteem issues, and you're chasing after that special someone, but they're just out of your grasp. They're close by, but elusive, like the wind. They're like the wind through your tree, and they ride the night next to you. They lead you through moonlight, only to burn you with the sun. Maybe they've taken your heart, but they don't know what they've done. Maybe you can feel their breath in your face and their body close to you. After all, they're like the wind. Dave and I can only assume that you look in the mirror and all you see is a young, old person with only a dream. And you can't look in their eyes because we all know they're out of your league. Dave and I don't think you are fooling yourself that they will stop the pain. But most importantly, sure, they might be out of your league. They are just too many variables. But we definitely don't think you're a fool to believe, because you have everything we need.
That's it?
That's it.
You know, I like that you're, you know, using the sways early on this week.
Yeah.
But I remember several episodes ago us citing some songs that we felt were bad between 87 and 89. And I feel like the sways for that song came up on one of your lists. It's interesting that that inspiration came back to you.
No,
when you kind of downgraded it earlier.
I still downgrade it. I still don't like it.
Well, you don't have to like it. It's great.
I used it for what it was worth.
Well, no one puts us in the corner. It's a good start. So there you go. So hey, last week threw out a little challenge. Remember, you know, our interlude break song.
Oh yeah,
we actually had a couple people respond to it.
I saw one response, and it was really.
It was way off.
It was way off.
Yes, it was. But we got one response. It was actually correct.
Mm.
So I'm not going to say the name of the song, so anybody else can still try to have fun figuring it out. But one of our listeners, JP, he messaged me on Messenger, and he got it right. I was shocked. So
good for him.
We got to get him a sticker or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how he deciphered that from that. So
wow. Good job. He knows his stuff.
He knows that stuff.
He knows his stuff.
He apparently knows that stuff. So
well, there you go.
Hey, you know, this is maybe something you're not going to care about at all, but high school baseball has started.
Uh-huh.
Why that is relevant is because, and nobody would know this, but I umpire high school baseball.
I've done it for many years.
Yes. So, but I've started out getting to the fields.
Yeah.
But what I found is, you know, between innings at the start of the game, they play music.
A lot of music. That's the new thing now.
Yeah, it's all the time.
Yeah.
And I think all the DJs at these fields are our age.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been out there the last couple weeks, and I mean, Poison.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Def Leppard.
Yeah.
There was one field, they played Alabama. And they played a lot of Alabama. Yeah. Like, it was too much Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Like, they had the greatest hits up there or something. They were just rolling through it. And there's something with the cheap seats or whatever these songs are. So, Bama's a little corny to me, but that's fine. Let's see. AC/DC, I've heard.
Yeah.
There was a MC Hammer song.
Yeah.
I've heard House of Pain. So I was like, you know, these young kids playing baseball, the parents are probably playing the music, but the fact that they get to listen to it and the younger folks in the stands watching, look at 80s and 90s still enduring.
Yes.
Even out on the high school baseball fields.
My daughters play softball.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is them playing walk-up music.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the walk-up music is, you can tell the parents have helped.
Oh.
Make the music.
Do you give your kids good walk-up songs?
We tried to do the walk-up thing, and our team was really into it. So
you should give your kids some walk-up songs.
I helped make them.
They were great. Good ones.
Yeah, they were great. Yeah. My daughter had she did Pearl Jam.
Oh, that's good.
She did Even Flow.
I got you.
So she's one of the only kids that
I was thinking more like Good Vibrations.
Yeah, no.
Let's go. Marky Mark. Yeah. That'd be great to walk up to, wouldn't it?
No.
There's lots of, B-52s.
Yeah.
Let's just go to that.
I think you're right. I think when you listen, you can tell the age of the parents. You can go, oh,
yeah,
these are Gen Xer parents.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well.
Absolutely.
That is 100% true.
Yeah.
And since that's our target audience, let's go ahead and tell our Gen Xer parent crowd today what it is we're going to be covering on this episode.
We are covering, we're back in the Billboard Hot 100, and we're looking at March 26th in 1988.
Ooh, he's got the right year, folks. That's a great start.
Hey.
Anytime we get you on the right year,
yep,
we're already off and running, all right. I think.
There you go.
March of 88, you and I don't even know each other yet.
No.
Actually.
No.
We're about 3 months away from our awkward baseball in the street meet cute.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
We'll call it that.
Okay.
That's what they call that in a movie.
The meet cute.
That's where the two main characters find each other. So we're the main characters.
Yeah. Can I play with you guys?
So, yeah.
I don't know. Right. Can you? That's how that went down.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
So I'm in the back half of sixth grade at the old Seth Llewellyn Elementary School. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mr. Moultrie, I believe, was my sixth grade teacher. Yeah. We had two sixth grade classes. Mr. Moultrie, I was in, and I think Mr. Covell. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's right. I won't bet my whole life on that, but pretty sure those are the names of the two teachers. Why I remember those, I'm not sure, but we're here. That's where we are. I can remember my fifth and fourth grade teachers, too.
So if you're the backside of fifth?
Sixth.
So I would have been backside of fourth.
Yeah.
Mrs. Summers.
Yeah, you're rocking it over at the Hector Campbell.
The Hector Campbell.
Elementary. Yeah. Teacher's name?
Mrs. Summers.
Mrs. Summers. Yeah. No, I was going to say unknown, but you pulled it out.
No, it was Miss Summers. I could name all of my teachers.
Nice. Yeah. Well, music was a big deal at this time, although, as I've said previously, as an 11-year-old, everything I hear is either off the radio or MTV, which are probably the same thing, actually. I did really like listening to American Top 40 on Sundays with KZ Kazem. At least that's when it was on my radio to see. I want to see what the number one was that week.
One that, if anybody's listened to this, they've come to the conclusion that you were inspired by
him. Inspired by him. I was. Yeah. I used to sit in the room and I'd wait.
You wanted to be Casey.
What did he say? Something about reach for the stars. Yeah. Or keep your feet on the ground and reach for the stars or something like
that. That's what
he said. And then, you'd hear the dedications were always good. So, but the way his show always worked is he'd always play the number one song from the week before at the beginning of the show. Then he would play all the countdown, top 40, and then he'd play whatever the new number one was. And it kind of spoiled it because if the song he played at the beginning didn't play in those first 39, you knew it was number one again because it wouldn't have fallen all the way off.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have caught on to that. You're really fast, though. You're really smart.
Well, where were you in your musical journey at this point, fourth grade?
Same thing. Radio. Fourth grade.
John Lee Hooker. Lucinda Williams.
Yeah, in my bedroom with my glasses on, lights turned down.
You weren't wearing glasses then, were you?
No.
No.
It was my sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Yeah, cool room.
You aged.
Smoke-aged room.
You aged to wear glasses, whereas I got them in fourth grade. So.
Oh, yeah. I got into them. I got to get
a
prescription changed now. Holy cow. Radio, top 40 on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Mixtapes.
The bus was a good spot to get some music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I look back on it. Bus drivers were a little more hip than I gave them credit for.
I know. They don't do it anymore.
Oh, okay.
They don't play music anymore.
I haven't been on a bus in so long. No music?
No.
Oh, man. No. He always had the Z100 on.
Yeah. I told you that one story that I went on a field trip.
Oh, yeah.
And the bus driver was playing.
But that was music.
But they never played anymore.
Oh.
But he was a cool driver.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
So, well, what did you, looking back over this billboard as you put together your list, what did you think of what was going on in March of 88 as far as how music looked?
I will tell you, I got the odds.
Yes.
And I was disappointed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I started going through them and I didn't.
So this week in the top 40, the America was not giving you a lot to work with.
I didn't think so. I got my 10.
Oh, okay.
And I like my 10.
That's good.
But I had nothing left. Nothing. I had one that I
kind of,
everything else was, I wasn't happy with the rest of it.
Not every week's a home run. I don't know what to tell you.
But the ones I picked were good.
This is America said these were the best 100 songs.
And there were some I couldn't even find them. I was trying to find them. Couldn't even find them.
No.
Not on Amazon playlist.
I'm gonna guess if you couldn't find them, it's not a song you were familiar with anyway.
So
what are you looking for it for?
I don't know.
Something extra?
Well, there were a lot of big movies at this time. There were several songs that came off movies.
There were.
So a lot of these songs were
some of them were layovers from 87.
Yes, this is true.
some of those movies.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, well,
things I remember on the radio.
I think in the 80s, late 80s particularly, I think soundtracks made up a lot of songs.
Like, oh, yeah.
They got, you know, Top Guns and mm-hmm. Dirty Dancing mm-hmm. and, you know, Big.
Oh, yeah.
It's a solid soundtrack, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, everybody remembers that.
I can't remember one song off of Big.
No, there's no song in Big.
I mean, I'm sure there's a song. There's just not one you can think of right now. Oh, the Chopsticks, when they play on the piano. That's the song.
Yeah, no.
Him and the Boss.
No.
That's Robert Loggia. Full Loggia. Yeah.
How do you know that? Why do you?
Because they play in Toy Store. Yeah. You haven't seen Big?
I've seen Big. How do you know the actor's name, though?
It's Loggia. It's Robert Loggia.
There you go. Yeah. Everybody knows
that. I know him. He's been in lots of stuff. He was in Officer and a Gentleman.
Like, I know
He was in Over the Top.
Mm.
He was in Big. He's been in some other gangster type movies. He was in Scarface.
Oh, there you go.
He's been in everything. Mm. Robert Loggia. He's got a very distinct way of talking.
Robert Loggia.
But you can't go full Loggia. Get over here. He kind of growls a little when he talks.
Yeah.
He goes, great idea, Josh. That's what he'd say in the meetings in Big.
It's right there, like between Pacino and...
I guess. He's not quite as unhinged. Yeah. As he's a little more controlled.
Lower
but he register. Definitely has a little bit of the growl.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so, but you got to be careful. You can't go full Loggia. You won't be able to talk the next day.
Mm.
So, well, despite your trepidation...
Yeah.
Since you can use big words as well.
Oh,
despite your trepidation of the
multisyllabic
of the selections that you had on this week's Billboard, as David Lee Roth said, life in 1988 was just like living in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
So let's grab a tropical drink and take a look at the hottest songs tearing up the Billboard charts. Well, fans, we say it every week, but it cannot be stressed enough that you should never miss one single episode of this show. So after listening to all of our great songs from 1988, take a quick second, if you haven't done so already, and hit the subscribe button and then share it with a friend. We promise they'll thank you for the recommendation, and it will give Rob and I the opportunity to share our awesomeness with someday everybody. That's our goal, everybody. So we realize you have a choice in podcasts to listen to, so thank you for queuing up Totally 80s and 90s Recall every week. And remember, the sky's the limit, and we'll never let you down.
There's Casey Kasem.
No, that one's my own. He never said that.
But he inspired you, though.
Maybe. But I didn't use his voice. Oh. Okay, you want me to do the voice?
No, nobody wants it.
Sky's the limit, and we'll never let you down. I'm Casey Kasem. No? Okay.
You're an idiot.
That's not it.
That's so dumb.
right to you're an idiot. All right.
Okay.
That's what we're doing this week, folks, is you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
I gave him a present last week.
And I call him an
and
idiot.
And I'm fine. This week, I'm an idiot. All right. Well, as we mentioned at the beginning, we're traveling back to 1988 today to check out the best songs in America, according to the Billboard Hot 100 for the week of March 26th. Billboard compiles this list according to record sales and radio airplay. So remember... If you don't like some of our choices, like Rob said, he did
blame
not.
Blame it on them.
This is what the majority of Americans were listening to, so you have to blame everyone else except us too. We are not at fault.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm going to tell you, my 10 are absolutely amazing. Off the hook.
I have to say.
I couldn't have made a better list.
The evens were better.
Oh, man.
You had really good ones.
I had some good ones.
Yeah.
And do you think you could pick out most of what I was going to go after?
Yeah.
Looking at them?
Yeah, I did. I didn't. I
don't like you peeking, but that's fine. I want your full surprise, but now you're peeking all the time. So.
Oh, no. You looked at mine.
Barely. I looked at a couple. I looked at the couple in the top 10, and then I kind of gave up after that. So, well, I selected, as you said, all of my songs from even numbers, your odd numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And being that you're a little odd, it seems fitting that you'd start us off with your number seven song.
My number seven is... I was so
hard to please. Good one. Look around. Can't get along with the Bengals.
Is that You found her quite attractive.
Everyone found her quite attractive. I was not.
On my own there.
I was not the only 12-year-old going, ooh, Susanna Hoffs.
She's rather attractive.
I think everyone from 11 to 40 were like, she's all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is Hazy Shade of Winter. This week in 1988, it was a number 83.
Ooh.
It would peak at number 2. I didn't know this. It was originally released by American music duo Simon and Garfunkel. It was a cover. I didn't know that.
Oh, nice.
Maybe I should have.
I think I did know that.
Yeah. Released in 66. And then they put their own spin on it. It was also from the film Less Than Zero.
Ooh.
Which had a few songs on this countdown. It became a huge hit. It surpassed the popularity of the original version. They'd been performing it since 83. It's produced by Rick Rubin. The song was never included on any of their studio albums until their first official greatest hits release in 1990. And then I guess there's a line in it that says, drinking my vodka and lime.
I like it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
but due to pressure from the record label, the Bengals removed the verse from the original song. And then in 2019, members of My Chemical Romance recorded a cover version for the series The Umbrella Academy.
Of all the things in 80s songs that needed to be removed, they needed to remove vodka and lime.
Yeah.
There's a whole song. There's songs about sex and everything else.
From pressure from the record label.
And I just assumed that was on the same album as like Walk Like an Egyptian, right?
No.
I never had that album.
No, it didn't come out until 90 on their greatest hits.
That's what I'm saying. I just would have assumed.
I know.
I would have bought the album with Walk Like an Egyptian. Mm-hmm. I should have got Manic Monday.
Yeah.
Walk Like an Egyptian. Nope.
The only place you could get it was on the Less Than Zero soundtrack.
What was it?
There you go.
So they made it for the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they covered it for the movie.
Yeah.
Still a good song.
Yeah, it's a great song. I love it. Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
That's my number seven.
That's a great start.
Song. Yeah.
Even though you hated all the songs, that's a good one.
The good 10 start. I picked, oh, I okay. like.
Good.
But that was the only 10. I was getting nervous.
Mine are awesome.
I was getting down to the week as I was planning and I was like, what am I going to do?
Sometimes our listeners will chime in that who kind of has a better list each week. I'm definitely going to dominate you this week.
That's fair.
Because I just have so much.
That's stuff, fair. Okay with it.
And my first one, it's a hip hop song. I would say kind of a staple at a lot of like high elementary, junior high dances. Makes you feel something.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Keep pushing back, cooling my day, then at night, working up a sweat. Come working on, up a sweat.
Oh, man. That
this is naughty. What do they mean?
No one knows.
What are they pushing?
I don't know.
Sound like my mother just
pushing. Maybe they're pushing the buttons over here like I'm trying to do.
I don't understand this song.
Yeah.
What is it about? What are they pushing?
Grocery cart?
Oh, yes.
Grocery store?
They're working real hard.
This tune is pretty iconic, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's like every kid from the late 80s would know that and immediately know what it is. Well, this is Push It by Salt and Peppa. Not spelled with the E.
Not pepper.
No, salt and pepper. P-A. Yeah. Salt and pepper is what us two really white guys would say. So.
Hey, put in some of that salt and pepper.
This was number 42 this week on the Billboard Hot 100. It would hit number 19 at its peak on the US Hot 100, but did hit number one in Belgium and the Netherlands. So they were big fans of Salt and Peppa, and in fact was a top 10 in a lot of other countries. So people were pushing it all over the world, Rob. Song has been certified platinum, ranked 446 on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest songs of all time. And VH1 ranked it number 9 on its list of 100 greatest songs of hip hop.
That's fair.
It's got some accolades to it. It was nominated for a Grammy for Best Rap Performance, but lost to Parents Just Don't Understand by one DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. What do you think about that?
I don't like that.
Really?
I mean, I like the song.
At this age, I would have liked the Parents Don't Understand better. Looking back on it, the Push It's probably a better song overall, right? So what is the song about, Rob? You said, what is it about? You don't know. I mean, everybody assumes. The lyrics are often interpreted to be talking about a sexual act. However, it is supposed to convey a sense of empowerment, confidence, and assertiveness. It is meant to celebrate sexual freedom, encouraging listeners to embrace their desires and take charge of their own pleasure. Warning, Rob. This song may cause spontaneous outbreaks of questionable pelvic thrusts. All right? So just be ready.
Yeah.
You may just find yourself walking down the street and just...
pelvic thrust.
Even knowing what's going on?
I don't even know.
Yeah. Your wife with the government, what are you doing? Yeah. I heard Salt and Pepper.
Sometimes when we're out in public, a song will come on. I'm with my family, I'll go, uh-oh. And then I start to
spontaneous do some press.
Spontaneous weird dance and my kids hate it. They're like, Dad, we're in public.
And you'd be like,
too bad. I can't help it.
Sometimes I got to push it.
Sometimes I feel the need.
And if you're going to push it, how should you push it?
Push it real good.
You should push it real good.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. If you're going to do it, do the best you can.
That's right.
All right.
My number six. This was one that I saw the title and then I had to play it. And then once I played it, I was like, I know this song.
Great song. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
You know
didn't
it.
Know that from the title?
No, and then once I saw it, I was like, it's classic. Yeah.
Love it. I don't know who sings this. Sounds familiar, but
it's a family. Ooh,
I like this.
Yeah, right?
Held that note really well. You know, I'm often critical of when you pick your segments.
Yeah.
You did a good job here.
See, I listen to you. I listen to your feedback.
But sometimes you just
I act like I don't.
Weird spots.
So. Yeah, I act like I don't, but yeah, I do.
It's all good.
This is the Jets.
Oh, yes.
And it's the family band.
I like the Jets.
Yes. This week in 1988, this song was number 9. It would peak at number 6.
Ooh,
It's by the American sibling group, the Jets. It was originally offered to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Sounds like an Earth, Wind,
Fire. I thought this was interesting. So they started to record it, but the group was taking too long. Oh. And so they took it back and they gave it to the Jets. It received a nomination for Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group with vocals at the 31st Grammy Awards in 1989.
Well, hold on. That was a Grammy nominated song.
Wow. Right?
I wouldn't have thought that was.
In July. No, I don't know. Okay. It was nominated.
Gotcha.
In July of 22, the songwriter Bobby Nunn sued the NFL and the NBC, for using Rocket to You during football games on NBC without a license.
Oh.
The case was settled in April of 23 for an undisclosed amount.
Probably enough that he doesn't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Rocket to You.
Yeah, right.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That seems like that's definitely a roller skating rink song.
Yes.
Really kind of boogie to that with the skates, right?
I like to boogie.
I like to get down. Be over there eating some cheese fries. You'd be is that the Jets?
Let's
go.
I got to go. I got to go. Sorry. Like mid-sentence.
My fries just fall out of my hand.
Yep, got to go.
I didn't know they were going to play the Jets. They didn't tell me. I got to get warned about these things.
Where'd he go? It's the Jets. He just
All right. goes. Well, my number 6 song is, this is one of my favorite songs, but because there were so many other good songs, it landed far down 6, but I really like this for no apparent reason, but it's just a great pop song. You're not gonna know. You can take every effort you want. You pull this out, I'll buy you a new car,
Mister.
I see that. It's not, but that.
Mike and the McKenzie.
Good. Oh, no, you're in the ballpark.
Okay. Who is it?
So this is "Don't Shed a Tear" by Paul Carrack.
Nope.
Yeah, exactly. This is kind of his one thing. So. Loved singing along to this song. Very catchy. I love it. The song is about resilience in the face of heartbreak and emotional turmoil. So really relevant to a 6th grader. Yeah.
Got
a
lot of problems. Yeah.
You know, I love telling those 6th grade girlfriends, look, I can live without you. Don't shed a tear for me. I'll be fine.
You're shaking.
I'll be back over here playing dodgeball. Don't worry about it. All right. So this was number 58 this week back in 88, but would eventually be a top 10 hit in the US Hot 100, getting all the way to number 9. The song was written by Canadian songwriter Eddie Schwartz, who also wrote Hit Me With Your Best Shot, recorded by one Pat Benatar. Wow. So that's a couple good hits for that guy. Yeah,
that's a career song.
You can live on those too, right?
You're done.
So overall, this song became popular, as I said, at the beginning. It has a catchy melody, emotional resonance, just not for a 6th grader. The vocals are soulful and pop radio friendly. Mm. It has a positive message about moving on and finally nostalgia, which is why I like it. Because it just, you know, maybe the lyrics aren't the thing for me, but the sound sounds like the late 80s. I watched the video and I will admit I'd never seen it before. I'm pretty sure they didn't play it on MTV because the singer looks like he's about 40 or 50 years old. He's balding and he dresses like my dad, you know, and there's a hot model walking around.
Your dad was a hip dresser.
No, he was not. So it was not what I expected. So, but he can sing, so it doesn't matter. So final analysis is, who needs emotional closure when you can just bottle up your feelings and pretend everything's fine? Step aside, therapy bills. This song's got it covered.
Nice.
All right. So
that's
don't shed a tear. I'll be fine. My life will go on without you.
That's how the McCrackens do it.
That's
we just bury it deep and
push
then
it way down.
40 years later, we blow up at a Thanksgiving dinner.
Throw a turkey across the room.
That's right.
So
for something 40 years ago.
I really do like this song though. Don't shed a tear.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a good message.
Yeah.
I love the line, my life won't end without you. That's kind of a big F you to that person.
Saying, I don't need you.
That's it. I'm fine.
I don't need you. Kiss like bricks, I said, baby.
I'll be right back over here. Foursquare, dodgeball, jump rope for life. I got it covered.
Cheat train is up the station, Martha, baby. Anyway, all right. Here we go. Number five.
Really good. I'm surprised this is so low. This is a great song.
You're going to like my other one.
Terrence Trent.
Yeah. He's got a new name.
I know he does.
I don't know how to say it.
I don't like it. I'm just going to stay with Terrence Trent.
I will try to say it, but...
Yeah. This is...
Ooh, the little flute.
This is iconic. Everybody that was around in 88 remembers this song, the Terrence Trent.
Yeah, Terrence Trent D'Arby.
I used to try to whistle along with this. I hit my microphone stand.
You still whistle to this?
No, I'm a bad whistler, so I can't do it.
Hey.
Well, I couldn't on the play playground, the flute myself.
On the playground, that's how you were impressing the ladies. Like, hey, ladies, check this out. Turns out
I can whistle to Terrence Trent D'Arby. I bet you didn't know that, did you?
They're like, you sound just like him.
Oh, it's perfect.
You want to go out?
All right. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. So this is, like you said, Terrence Trent D'Arby. Song's called Wishing Well. This week in 88, it was number 17. And it would reach number one eventually. It would peak at number one.
It was good.
When the single reached number one on the Billboard, I thought this was interesting. So when it reached number one, it had been on the chart for 17 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And that's the longest progress to number one in the U.S. chart since the Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams Are Made of This in 1983. Mm. And I couldn't find anything that record has been beat since. So it was on the chart. It took 17 weeks for it to get in. That's the longest.
Very resilient.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it.
Yeah. It was recorded by Terrence Trent D'Arby. His new name is
something else.
Sananda Maitre.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's certified gold. It was co-written by D'Arby. D'Arby said Wishing Well was written, quote, when I was in a half asleep, half awake state of mind, and that he liked the feel of the words. There you go. So I don't know if it has any meaning. An experience, I remember it was on heavy rotation on MTV. He performed the song live at the 30th Annual Grammy Awards, where he lost for the Grammy Award for Best New Artist to Jody Watley.
Ooh, man, that's tough.
It's been called a sparse funk. Mm. Kathy Whalen of the Washington Post credited the song's chart success to D'Arby's combination of, quote, 60s soul and pop on top, and called Wishing Well bouncy.
It is. That is bouncy.
Go. Yeah.
I like it.
It's got a killer whistle solo.
And we're living it. It does have a killer. See, I can do it.
Look at that.
That's terrible. I'm a horrible whistler.
There.
I like that I've already established I'm horrible, but I'll keep doing it. It's like, fine. It's kind of like that Australian accent I've developed.
Oh yeah, don't do that.
We have it in there whenever we need it.
There's microphone sound people all over the world going, that's awful mic.
That's awful mic work.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Whatever.
Right. So, all right. Well, and we're living in 88, so he's going to stay Terrence Trent today.
That's all fine. Right?
So, well, my number five, I think you're going to be shocked that this is so far down the list, but my other ones are really good. But you would have probably thought this would be a little bit higher.
Ooh. And give me this is your five?
Five. I've got to let you
know. I've got to let you know. Well, I think my number five, I think you're going to be shocked that it's so high, or so low.
You should have just did your number five.
That's what I mean.
I was surprised that Terrence Trent was that low.
Ooh.
This is really good, though.
This is really
good. It's iconic.
This is my favorite one so far on your list.
It's good.
Probably would have been my number one.
You don't know what else
I don't know what else.
But I will say, looking at the rest of what I have, it might be your number one.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know that you'll agree the other ones should be above it. But that's my opinion of what should be where it's supposed
to
be.
That's how this works.
That is how it works. Yeah. So this is Need You Tonight by INXS. Super memorable song right here. Everyone who grew up in the late 80s recognizes that sound. As soon as you hear the beat, that bass comes in, everything. This song was off the band's mega 1987 album Kick. And I had that album, a great group from our friends down under in Australia. See, look at that perfect bridge I made. It was number 62 on the charts this week, but would hit number one on the US Hot 100, the only INXS song to do so. Yeah. This has arguably become the band's signature song, and a radio station in Australia put out a list of the 100 most Australian sounding songs of all time. to which this song was
69, dudes.
Hey, well done.
Number 69.
Tip and the boys were quick on that.
They were. They're on top of it sometimes. Video won 5 MTV Music Awards, including 1988's Video of the Year, and is ranked number 21 on MTV's countdown of the 100 greatest videos of all time.
Mm.
I looked at the top 20 above it, and overall, they were mostly better videos, except Vogue was at number 2. Not sure I agree with that.
Yeah.
And Express Yourself at number 10, also by Madonna. Mm-hmm. I disagree with that, too. I didn't think those videos were better.
Yeah.
They're good songs. But the song has been covered by Kylie Minogue and Bonnie Raitt and sampled by Dua Lipa in her song Break My Heart. So lots of people.
Bonnie Raitt covered this?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting cover.
No, you can stay away. It's fine. Wow. I checked it out. It's about what you expected it to be. So. It was number 2 song on the Billboard Hot 100 for all of 1988, finishing right above George Harrison's Got My Mind Set on You.
Oh, I like that.
And just below George Michael's Faith.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Slotted right in there.
I liked it.
In Excess.
That's good.
Need You Tonight.
Yeah, I'm curious to see the rest of your list.
Oh, you're going to be. You're going to like it.
Yeah. Alrighty. My number 4 is?
Oh, really good. Is that Pebble?
It's Pebble. Yeah. I never noticed that. It just caught up. It cut off right when I played it.
Yeah.
But the dog barking?
Oh, yeah.
I never noticed the dog barking until I had my headphones on. I was getting ready for this.
Studio.
I never listened to
the... Was it just in the studio running around?
I guess.
Yeah. Oh, this is so memorable. Like,
yeah.
I can just hear... I can just...
This is...
Be on the bus and
this
hear this
is fourth,
song.
Fifth grade. Oh, this is... Yeah, this is...
Uh-oh, I like this part. It sounds a little... Paula Abdul-ish before Paula Abdul.
Oh, that's interesting to say that.
No, okay.
So this week in 88, it was number 13. It would make it to number 5.
Ooh.
It's by American singer Pebbles. Written and produced by L.A. Reid and Babyface. So there you go.
That might be part of that problem.
It was originally intended for Vanessa Williams.
Oh.
But then Pebbles heard the song and offered Reid more money and 2 cars for the chance to record it. So basically.
Wow.
She wanted it that
What kind of cars were those?
I don't know.
Didn't get that?
And what could you give L.A. Reid that he didn't already have?
I mean, that's what I'm wondering. What kind of cars?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not like a couple of Corollas or something. Hey, I got a Honda Accord out back, I'll give you.
It ran when parked. Yeah. As a result, the production team were not asked to work on more songs on Williams' debut because they were working on her debut.
Oh.
Reid said due to that incident, Williams never spoke to him again.
Yeah.
The song earned Pebbles her first nomination for the Best Female R&B Vocal Performance at the 1989 Grammy Awards, losing to Giving You the Best That I Got by Anita Baker.
So there you go. Yeah. I probably like the Pebbles song better.
I do too.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could pull out the Anita.
I think the other Pebbles song I like that Mercedes song.
Yeah.
Mercedes
Girl or something like that?
Mercedes Boy.
Boy. That's what it is.
I don't know why it'd be a girl. I mean, it could be a girl.
I think there's a country zone called Mercedes Girl or something.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway.
Are you making that up?
I don't think so.
Is that by Lucinda Williams?
I like the comment this week. Somebody goes, I really like your list, and now I got to go find out who the hell Lucinda Williams is.
Because yeah, that's what everybody has to do. Like, what? All right, let's go check it out. So, my number 4, I went into we know we love our ballads here. On Totally 80s, 90s Recall, so I ran into the old ballad genre.
Oh. Little Def Leppard. This is...
Very memorable. There you go. Hear this on the radio.
Yeah. I like the break where they talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a relationship song.
Oh, that's good. So that's Hysteria by Def Leppard. This is off the band's mega hit album of the same name, Hysteria. And 80s, 90s Recall favorite. We love that album.
We do like it.
Do you have it over there?
I don't have it.
Wow, that's crazy. We got to get you LP is what we should get you.
I need to add it.
Well, this was the song. This song was the band's first top 10 hit on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, as it was number 10 this week, and that is where it would peak. Obviously, bigger hits would follow with Love Bites, Pour Some Sugar on Me, but this was the first to crack the top 10. Is this the best song off the album? No. Is it still a really good song? Oh, yeah. When this is like the 6th best song on the album, you know your album's pretty dang good, I would say. I don't know if you would say, but I would say. So, well, this is a ballad, which we love, and probably would be remembered more in the ballad pantheon if Love Bites wasn't also on the same album. That kind of overshadows it a little bit. So I read a review that said Hysteria is a standout track that showcases Def Leppard's songwriting prowess, musical talent, and ability to craft timeless rock anthems. It remains a staple of classic rock radio and a highlight of the band's impressive catalog.
Oh,
wow.
That's a good review.
That is a good review. Fun fact, the band's original name was Def Leppard, spelled D-E-A-F, leopard like the animal, but they were worried it may offend people with hearing impairments. So they changed it to the spelling that we know as an homage to Led Zeppelin. Also, according to a list compiled of
that's
the most
dumb name for a band. What?
Like Def Leppard?
Def Leppard. that's dumb.
It's okay. We like it, though. We're used to it now. So.
Okay.
Well, according to a list compiled of the most expensive albums ever made, Hysteria was ranked sixth, costing between $4.5 and $5 million to produce. Mm. What do you think number one is, Rob? This is your chance right here.
I'm going to go Michael Jackson Thriller.
You were in the ballpark, though. It's 2001 Invincible by Michael Jackson, which had an approximate cost of $30 to $40 million.
And yeah, nobody listened to it.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not at that level.
No.
So, but yes, Thriller was not on the top 10 that I saw.
Really?
But it was there. Michael Jackson had a couple on there. Mm-hmm. I think Dangerous was another one that was up there a little bit.
Dangerous. I like that one.
So.
I had that one.
Or no, is it Dangerous? Or is the one with the black and white in them on? Is that, that's Dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So I think that was on the top 10. So yeah. So Def Leppard. D-E can't hear F Leppard.
That's so dumb.
Oh, no? Yeah.
I'm glad they went with Def Leppard.
The D-E-F. Yeah. We dropped the A.
So, All right. Of all the songs I picked today, I think you will like this one.
Oh, this is going to be the best?
Yeah. Well, you will like this.
No, okay.
You'll appreciate it. I like it. It was another one where I went, I don't know the title.
So then why is it three if you liked other songs better?
Because I have a reason for my other ones.
All right.
Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, really good.
Yeah. So good. I didn't know it from the title, and then I had played it, and I was like, oh.
Is that Keith?
You have to put Keith Sweat on.
Keith Sweat. I like when he does that. I want.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he just has his own unique sound. That man only ever sings about one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no suggestion.
Booty. His whole life is. He made a good career on the booty song. Booty Jam. So in 88, this was number seven. Reach number five on the Billboard Hot 100. Mm. It was the first single from his debut album. It was written and produced by Teddy Riley, the founder and lead singer of the musical group Blackstreet. It became the most successful number one single in 88 on the Billboard Hot R&B chart and topped the R&B Billboard year-end chart for 88. It was ranked number six on Complex.com's list of 25 best new Jack Swing songs of all time. So, yeah. Jack Swing. So it's I Want Her by Keith Sweat.
Is that all the info you have?
That's all I got.
I'm used to a lot more info from you.
I know. You're my wife would also agree with you. She told me this morning, she
says. Actually cut me a little short on that. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed.
She said, you. Basically, it was a nice way of saying you talk too much.
No, that's what we do on this. People look for the Robsters tune in for that. we have an actual cult following of people that are like, I really want some of the mundane details, like possibly Key Sweat shoe size, where he gets his haircut,
these types of things.
Yeah. He's like 6'2".
And he's got small feet.
That's a weird thing.
Yeah, small feet.
Where are you getting this information?
Small feet.
Poor Keith.
Yeah.
Keith, that's too bad. I'm much shorter than Keith and I have a much bigger foot.
He's shorter in real life than he'd realize.
All right. It's one of those like if you're 6 foot in high school,
it's like Charles Barkley. They always listed him at like 6'5".
Yeah. Like in high school, it said 6 foot. And then when they put the baseball program on, I'm 6'2.5".
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. Why not?
I know. I think one year I was like 6'6" or something like that on a program. I was like, I've never been 6'6". 6'4",
that's good.
Anyway.
Well, my number three, when I first saw the whole thing, I thought for sure this was going to be my number one song. It's not my number one song. It's my number three song. I was shocked. I found two above it, but they're valid, but I really love this song. So, and I think you're going to like it too, Rob. I thought it was you.
No. Shattered Dreams, baby.
This is just like, I just remember,
yeah,
like my bedroom and like, you know,
playing the heartache. Games and,
oh, the heartache. I remember the heartache of sixth grade.
Somebody giving you shattered dreams.
Yep.
Did you ever have a girl shatter, break your heart in sixth grade?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
I had, oh man, this song's so good. Can't listen to the whole thing.
I had a couple, times where I had to feign like I was brokenhearted,
so
but
here,
there was a part of me was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Here's the only thing that happened.
I got other things to do.
The only thing that happened to me in sixth grade, I don't remember her name. She lived around the block from me, and at recess, a couple of her friends walked up and say, hey, you know, she thinks you're cute.
Yeah, whatever they said.
Do you want to go out with her? And I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
And I was kind of like, get out of here. We were playing football or something.
Okay.
Like, yeah, fine. Yeah, and I would like brush them off. So then after school, we're getting on the bus and they're like, oh, she wants to sit next to you on the bus. And I'm like,
well, let's go.
I know. But I always sit in the back with Mike. Like that was my response.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I got to, Mike and I always sit in the back.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you can sit with her. And I'm like, all right.
Well, I sat with Mike.
So I sat with her and then walked home. And then I don't think we talked for like 2 weeks. And then they came up and they go, she wants to break up with you now. And I said, okay.
Okay.
That takes me back to don't shed a tear. Man, I'll be fine. So that was the extent of my heartbreak in sixth grade, I would tell you. I can remember most of that. So anyway, this song is Shattered Dreams, as you said, by Johnny Hates Jazz.
See, I wouldn't have guessed the band.
I found this fascinating. The song was released 9 March 1987, hit the UK charts. Did well in Europe, but didn't debut on the U.S. Hot 100 until March 19th, 1988. Mm. The album was released in January of 88, so I'm assuming just as a single. It did not gain as much attention until the album hit in the U.S. So
yeah.
This week it was number 50 and rising, and it would eventually peak at number 2, May 14th of 88, being kept out of number 1 by this song. I have a song to play for you that I know you're going to like. You're going to go, oh, yeah, that should have kept it out of number 1. That's valid. You're not going to say that.
This kept it out of number one?
The song I'm about to play for you.
Oh.
Kept it out of the number one spot.
I'd still do anything for you.
Oh my God.
I'll play your game.
Shoot me now.
Is this Gloria
Is this you in the back playing bongos with the Miami Sound Machine? Yes. This is Gloria and Miami. This was the number one song that kept Shattered Dreams out. What was going on in America? But everyone was like, yeah, this is better. That's enough of that.
That was number one?
Number one.
Yeah, right now.
So, well, and to make it even better, it actually hit number 2 again May 28th for 2 more weeks, but got blocked both of those weeks by another song. But I'm going to assume
this
time you're going to think this is actually a better song. So
Gloria
Estefan. I pull up our little sample I have for you here,
okay,
this will tell you that I think this one I can live with. The first one, I could not live with. This one, I can handle.
Oh,
so this is one more try from George Michael. So this for 2 more weeks blocked Shattered Dreams, but I can live with this one. That's a good song though.
Yeah, it's good.
It's got some interesting lyrics, but I like it. That I still have to learn.
It's got a sweet set of pipes.
He does.
Yeah.
That's a weird way to say that.
But I don't know. Isn't that what the cool kids say?
Yeah. So anyway, it hit number 2 several times.
No cap.
Couldn't climb. No cap. There you go. Are you using that right?
I don't know.
We learned last week. Yeah. So, Spin Magazine said the song committed several musical sins. Mm. It has a basic beat and it's all synth. And so what? It's a true guilty pleasure with no artistic risks, yet it's too hummable to ignore.
Too hummable.
That's right. So even though they said structurally not a good song, we still like it. I know is that there are songs that can transport me right back to a time in my life.
Yep.
And this makes me feel like I'm in sixth grade again. Just as we said, listening to the radio, doing everything I was talking about, riding the bus. Mm-hmm. I don't care how basic it may be. If it can do that for me nostalgically, I'll always love this song. Mm-hmm. So, fun fact, the band's name refers to one of the members' brother-in-law, Johnny, who in fact hates jazz. Despite his wife, the band member's sister, absolutely loving jazz. So there you go. Johnny hates jazz.
Yeah. What was the sister's name? Do we know?
They didn't give the sister. Just said sister.
All right. Sister loves jazz.
Sarah.
Sarah loves jazz.
Sarah loves jazz.
That'd be
that could have been the other name of their song.
Yeah.
They kicked that around. How about Sarah loves jazz? Doesn't have enough. Doesn't have enough oomph, mate.
Were they English?
They were. I think so.
No. Okay, mate.
Mate. Doesn't have enough punch, mate. Sarah likes.
Are we
jazz.
At my number 2?
We're at your number, two.
Okay, my number 2 is
Sarah likes jazz.
No.
Of course. course. Why wouldn't it be? I'm surprised it's number two.
I know. My number one, I have kind of a weird reason for number one.
Yeah, it's usually why you have your number ones. I used to like trying to sound like Rick Astley. You just kind of have to drop your voice.
You try to sound like a lot of people.
I do. Well, I thought I could impersonate things. It turned out I was
wrong.
Very incorrect. I was not Dana Carvey in a former life.
Okay, this is Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. In 88, the song was number three. It would go to number one. It was the first single from his debut studio album. A lot of debut albums this week.
Yeah.
Or this year that went on to be major, huge, like iconic things. Major, it was the best-selling single of the year in the UK. It topped charts in 25 different countries. Won the best British single of 1988 at the Brit Awards. It's regarded as Astley's signature song. In 23, Billboard magazine ranked Never Gonna Give You Up among the 500 best pop songs of all time, and it was described as a carefree and cheerful pop ditty sung with that youthful, muscular voice.
Ooh.
Also called a brilliantly written song.
It is good. It's great. Make fun of it all you want. Yeah. I love it.
Since being uploaded to YouTube in 2009, the video has received nearly 1.5 billion views and 16 million likes. The song was one of several songs reportedly played as I like this. The song was one of several songs reportedly played as part of a psychological campaign to convince Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega to surrender during the United States invasion of Panama in 89.
So was it just to annoy him to get him out?
Yeah, I think they just played it over and over and over again.
If you're trying to get him to surrender, playing the song that says, I'm never going to give you up, feels like a backwards message.
And I wonder how long it took before they didn't dance to it.
He's
a good song.
Is he in the castle? The first hour?
Yeah.
Turn it off. I come out now. I'm all done.
No more.
Arrest me. No more Rick Astley. Yeah.
On January 26th of 2023, this is where I feel old.
No.
So in January this of 23, Astley filed a lawsuit against... He's an artist named Young Gravy.
Ooh, I've heard of the
Young
Gravy.
You know that? Spelled Y-U-N-G Gravy.
Yeah, how else would you spell it?
I don't know, but then I sound like my dad going, Young Gravy, what kind of name is that?
Get off my porch.
Yeah, stupid name. Anyway.
There's also a rapper called Big Baby, in case you're wondering. So there stupid. You go.
Right yeah,
go.
It's probably spelled
different. Oh, you're fine.
They don't even know how to spell these kids. Uh-huh. So he used an impersonator to mimic Astley's voice. The case was settled in September of 23.
Nice.
I don't know what they settled for, but
I gotcha.
You know, again, they're not starving. I'll give you that.
They'll be fine. Yeah. Rick Astley's never going to starve off of that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Anyway, that was my number two.
Never going to give you up. Yeah, I'd practice that voice.
Never going to let you down. I like his little dance. He never really does anything. He just kind of stands there.
He doesn't have to do anything. He's Rick Astley. Yeah,
and he's got the big trench coat.
And he's English. So when you hear him talk, like his voice doesn't match. He's like 5'8".
Yeah.
He's got red hair. Yeah. And then he talks to you. You're like, or he sings. He's like this little dude. And then he's like.
And he's still performing.
Yeah.
Like he
played drums at the Foo Fighters. I was just going to say,
him and the Foo Fighters do stuff together.
I think he did Everlong.
Yeah.
So, and I heard it was really good. I didn't check it out yet on the YouTube, but I'm there. Yeah. So, anyway. Well, my number two, sixth grade David would be having a great day today because Susanna Hoffs was at the top of this list. So that's one crush. And then the second one just comes running down the streets.
Oh, it is.
I mean,
I remember this video.
Oh, yeah. Oh. She could do no wrong in 1988.
Listen to you over there.
Oh, man. Kind of like you and Toni Braxton.
Oh, that's not true.
Hear my dad. Why is he always in there listening to
on repeat.
The Bengals and Belinda Carlisle. Leave me alone.
Oh, man.
There's other songs. All right, Belinda's back. No secret,
Dad.
No secret to anyone who's listened to this podcast before that, I like Belinda Carlisle. Very exciting. Yeah. Plums, we've had the whole discussion.
I know.
When I was 11 and 12, and I didn't know who Kelly Kapowski was yet, I was, a lot of kids my age were like into the Alyssa Milano. Mm-hmm. I was just never, I mean, she's fine. She was cute. But Belinda was beyond cute, right? So yeah, she was.
A little segue. You said Kelly Kapowski.
Kelly Kapowski, yeah.
The gal that played, Lisa Turtle.
Oh, yes.
She shares a birthday with March 26th.
Oh.
So she has a March 26th birthday.
It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon with Saved by the Bell for us. Yeah. We can always tie it back.
Yeah.
That's great. The song was number 6 this week on the US Hot 100. Would go as high as number 2. Blocked at number 1 behind the man you just played, Rick Astley.
Oh.
Who Belinda found truly never gives up anything. He just wouldn't let her have number 1. Wow. So this was written by frequently mentioned person on the show, Diane Warren, originally intended it for Stevie Nicks. But the producer thought it would fit Belinda better. Plus, Stevie was very unreliable at that time on a lot of drugs. Couldn't get her in the studio at a regular. So they're like, let's just give it to Belinda.
Yeah.
So although Belinda was no saint.
That writer herself, is like obscenely rich.
Diane Warren, she's written every song. Every song you think is good, I think she wrote. So critics didn't love it, thinking it was pretty bland and sanitized, but it did well on MTV and the radio, probably due to the popularity of Heaven is a Place on Earth, the previous single. The song is described as pop with elements of rock and adult contemporary music. Mm. The song features lush production, catchy hooks, and emotional vocals, which were very much in line with Carlisle's style during that era of the 80s. Right? Okay. So I read that Belinda Carlisle's combination of talent, chart success, and iconic image propelled her to stardom in the late 1980s, making her one of the most recognizable and beloved pop artists of that era. I also read that this song is the musical embodiment of that moment when you see your crush across the room and suddenly forget how to walk, talk, or function like a normal human being. So thanks, Belinda, for reminding us of every awkward encounter and failed attempt at being suave. All right, appreciate that. Yeah. So, fun fact, the song is Carlisle's most second successful commercially and successful song, and the music video was directed by none other than actress Diane Keaton.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at that.
She also directed Heaven is a Place on Earth.
Wow.
I didn't even know Diane Keaton directed music videos, but there she was.
There you go.
She did taking TCB, Rob. Taking care of business.
CB.
There it is.
I knew
that. Taking care of business.
All right.
All right.
Well, that's a good top half of the listener.
We have. So we've gone from our 7 to our number 2. So what does that mean, Rob?
It means
it's time for the cut line. Ooh, we're playing it old school today since we're flashing back to 88. Yeah. Well, often Rob and I find it very difficult to rank just 7 songs because we like all the songs. Although this week you said you had no problem finding just 7.
I found 11.
For this segment, we've each identified 2 songs that just missed our top 7 and an honorable mention, which is a song that maybe we didn't hear the first time around or found years later, or perhaps just plain forgot about and have come to appreciate more as we've gotten older, or in Rob's case, just crap I find in the air and decide I'll make this a honorable mention. So, and with that, Rob, what crap do you have for your first cut?
I'm playing by the rules today. Gee whiz.
We hope so.
Yeah. I'm keeping my thing short. I'm picking good songs.
And people aren't going to enjoy it. We're going to get a bunch of letters like, what's going on, Rob? Is he not feeling well? What's happening over there? And we tune in for a certain version of the show and we're not getting it.
The podcast production company came in and said, you got to change things up.
No, everything's perfect. Tell them to shove off.
All right, here we go. This is my cut number 1.
Oh, we went with LL.
I did.
You should wear a Kangol today. That would have been good. Could have had it backwards. Or the bucket. He liked the bucket.
Oh, he did like that. He was a bucket.
He was a bucket guy. Well, it went the other one, I think, in the 90s. He changed it up, but it's definitely bucket hat this time.
Yeah. I put it as a cut because it wasn't really, I knew of it, but it's never been one that's in my playlist.
Like,
I
wouldn't. So mid-80s rap. The tune, the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not my favorite LL.
No, it's not. And that's why I put it as my cut, because I iconically, I know where it sits in the 80s music.
Going back to Cali.
But yeah.
What's it say? Going back to Cali.
He goes, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So this week in 88, it was number 35. It would peak at number 31.
31.
It's by LL Cool J. It's from the Less Than Zero soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Again. This. What is this? Is this a movie?
It is a movie.
What is this
it
movie?
It had Robert Downey Jr. in it.
I have not seen this movie.
I believe it had some... it had a drug use storyline to it, I believe, but don't quote me. All the 80s people are going to go, you guys don't know Less Than Zero.
I know, we're going to take some heat on this one.
Oh, you stupid people.
Yeah.
It was also on his third album, Walking with a Panther. Walking with the Panther. Ooh. That's a great title. Co-written and produced by Rick Rubin. It's certified gold in 91. Then it was certified platinum in 2017. The video was directed by Richard Manello. He also co-directed the landmark music video for the Beastie Boys' 1987 single, Fight for Your Right to Party. I don't know that song.
Are you sure? Sounds like you don't know that song.
Okay. He also co-directed the Beastie Boys' video, No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Ooh, good one.
He directed Danzig's Mother.
Oh, I love that song.
He directed Slick Rick's Children's Story.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. I thought this isn't about the song necessarily, but it's more about the video. It said, Robert Tannenbaum, the author of the 2011 book, I Want My MTV, The Uncensored Story of the Music Video Revolution, noted that, quote, there are no more than a handful of music videos that have done more for a band's career and more vividly describe their image than Fight for Your Right to Party did for the Beastie Boys.
Oh.
His contributions to music during the era led MTV to call him, quote, one of the most influential visionaries behind the emergence of commercial hip hop in the 1980s.
Ooh, ooh, anyway, Tannenbaum. So that's
going back to Cali, LL Cool J.
Cool J.
Yeah, number 35 this week in 88.
Ooh, kicking butt, taking names. It was
my
names. Cut
because it's not up there.
Yeah, it's not. If I did a top 100 rap songs, I probably wouldn't make the list.
It wouldn't make my list, yeah.
But Slick Rick's Children's Story is mine.
It might.
I like that one. Yeah. So, well, my first cut is a super cheesy song. Couldn't get away from doing a Billboard and me not having at least one super cheesy song because I like super cheesy pop songs. So.
I don't know this.
1,000% know this.
Wait, is it possible for you to ask me? So this is true. Oh, yeah. Okay, but now I don't know who.
I knew you knew it. Don't act like you don't know it. You get your 80s card rescinded if you didn't know this song.
I'm singing it.
Well, I will tell you that when the time comes. Listen to the harmonies. Like, yeah, she hits notes you wish you could hit.
Wow.
Right? So this is Seasons Change by Exposé.
Exposé.
Oh, where were you on that one?
Dang it.
Big time roller rink, middle, junior high school dance alert right
mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm.
I think this definitely
that's
sounds.
Good. Yeah.
Is this a great song? No.
Yeah.
Is it a super memorable song? Yeah.
You're not, it is. You're definitely. Not dropping your chili cheese fries to go skate to this
no,
one.
This one, no. Jets, yes.
Yes.
Exposé, I can finish first. Yeah. I can catch it in the middle.
Yeah.
That'll be okay.
But if you had that cute girl that wanted to go hit the... Hit the roller rink.
The one I talked to you twice?
Yeah. You'd drop the chili cheese fries for this.
I don't know.
I mean, if she was like,
I'm
in.
I know, but once they cool down, the cheese coagulates and then it's hard to eat.
But you're like,
so can I finish first?
But you're like, but I got to finish my fries.
I got to finish my fries? Look, like, I had priorities in sixth grade. I got to finish my fries.
You can't sit next to a girl on the bus.
It's either that or I'm over on the video game machine with one of the other guys.
I got to go beat.
Hey, can we, Donkey Kong's not going to play itself. All right. So when looking at the list, it was one of the songs I remembered the most from this year. So I threw it on as a cut.
Yeah.
It was number 56 this week on the US Hot 100, previously hit number one back in February of 88. How did that hit number one? That's crazy, right? So I think it's a good song, but I didn't think it was a number one song. Yeah. Back in February. So Exposé had the distinction of being only one of two all female vocal groups to hit number one in the entire decade, with Bananarama being the other one. So there you go.
Okay.
The lyrics, as on several songs at this time, probably flew right over my 11-year-old head. The song has to do with relationships fading away due to challenges. Hey, challenges like eat my chili cheese fries.
Like,
so, the only
priorities.
Yeah. The only challenge I had at this time was making sure to just say no, or Nancy Reagan might come and get me. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, you got to be careful. She's hanging around the corner over there. You got your green shirt on?
I did. I had the green shirt with the white.
The green shirt also. Yeah.
Just say no.
No. Most people believe this is a breakup song, but the songwriters say it's actually a song about growing old with someone and about being with the person forever by making sacrifices.
Oh, nice.
The video is interesting and I guess symbolic. The band is packing up and leaving a beach house, so it seems like the seasons are literally changing.
Uh-huh.
They probably thought that was pretty thought-provoking in 1988. Yeah. Kind of silly in the end, actually.
Clever.
So, but they are, it's like a whole beach house and they're packing up.
Oh.
And the wind's blowing a lot out on the beach.
Oh.
Seasons change.
Sad. So sad.
But it's not supposed to be sad. It's supposed to be growing old with someone.
Oh, so, okay.
All right.
All right.
But you know what? Now that we've talked about it enough, I will say if I was ranking things, Seasons Change right below cheese fries. Right? So, okay.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. Our game was sad.
Oh, it was sad.
Yeah.
It was really sad. Yeah. Literally, if I was
Let me give you my number in your yearbook.
I will tell you right now. Oh, you wanted me to call you. Oh, yeah. I will tell you right now, if I was skating, holding hands, and one of my friends was like, dude, come play doubles with me on this video game.
I'm out.
I would have been like, see ya. She probably would have hit the boards because I'd have been out of there so fast.
Where'd he go?
Because my priorities were my dude friends and not the lady friends. So, but that's okay. It all worked out in the end.
My dude friends, not my lady friends.
All right, that takes us to your second cut.
So my second cut really hits here because I couldn't find it.
I couldn't find a place for it.
And I needed it on my list. So here we go.
Oh man, this could have been in the top seven.
It should have been up there.
It's Taylor Dane.
Yeah. I had a hard time. Had a couple songs on the list.
You know, I honestly will tell you, we had a dance at the end of my sixth grade year.
Yeah.
I danced with a girl. Terrible, you know, hip thrusting, bad bottom lip, white guy shoulders. But I definitely was out on the Taylor Dane on that. So. Yeah. Oh, this is good.
Love it.
I love it.
Yep.
I want to listen to it all night.
I know. So it's Tell It to My Heart.
Yes,
Taylor Dane.
Taylor.
This week in 1988, it was number 99.
Oh.
Yeah. It would peak at number 7. It's by Taylor Dane. It's her first single from her first album. Again, a debut album.
Good.
It was the 23rd best-selling single of 1988 in the UK. Dane recalled feeling an immediate affinity with the song. She said, I thought there was something about the hook. It's a happy hook.
It is a happy hook. I love it.
Dane's father loaned her $6,000 to create the demo. Then the track took off so, like, it became such a hit in fall of 87 that she had to complete her debut album in 8 weeks. She had to get it all wrapped up in 8 weeks. Uh-huh. Like, it's so good. She was nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal for her performance on Tell It to My Heart in 1989. She was up against One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston. Chalk Mark in a Rainstorm by Joni Mitchell.
Okay.
Get Here by Brenda Russell.
Okay.
And the winner was Tracy Chapman, Fast Car.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That people love that song more than I do.
So. It's a good song.
It's, yeah. It's no joke.
I actually, in our house, we think the most recent version, there's a country cover.
Yeah, okay.
We think it's better than the original, which is.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I think if I'm going to listen to that, I want that original Tracy Chapman sound because she has a unique sound.
Yeah. Producer Rick Wake said in a 1994 interview with Vibe magazine that Tell It to My Heart really blew people away. Commenting on Taylor Dane's voice, he said, quote, they thought she was like black or some kind of ethnic.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that the way you said it then?
I don't know.
Good job by that guy to wake everyone up to Taylor Dane. You liked that, didn't you?
No,
Waking everybody up to Taylor Dane.
You just want to use a stupid clap button.
Well, you know, sometimes I should get credit for my cleverness.
Yeah.
All right. My second cut is a song that I put on here strictly because it's not even one of the best 10 songs, I think, of the year. But it's a very memorable song, so I put it on here because of that. And I think back in 88, I actually listened to it a little bit. But re-listening to it, it's pretty terrible. However, it's so nostalgic and has that 88 feeling from sixth grade that
Lovable garbage.
I don't even know if it's lovable garbage. It just... As an older person listening to it, it's not as great as it was the first time around, I think, but here you go.
Oh, yeah.
This feels like being at the dentist or something, right? An elevator.
This is a group.
This is a group. It sounds dated even in 1988.
Yeah.
Listen to the... But I remember it distinctly. This feels very Casey Kasem-ish.
You know
this
what
would it, be a big dedication song.
Okay, you know what it reminds me of? And this is like... I don't know why. That song gives me weird memories of when I worked at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a grocery store song.
And this is the song that would have played on the grocery store.
That does not shock me one bit. Yeah. So this is I Don't Want to Live Without You by Foreigner.
Foreigner.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Foreigner. Foreigner's definitely a supermarket band. Right? Yeah. You're going to hear them in there. So Power Ballad Alert, another school slow dance song, I would bet.
Mm-hmm.
Number 52 on the US Hot 100 this week, peak at number 5. In May of 88, so top 5 hit. Okay. It was the band's 9th and final top 10 hit on the US Hot 100. Went to number 1 on the adult contemporary chart. May 14th, 1988, making it Foreigner's only number one hit.
No.
This is a cut because it's a memorable song, but not one I immediately listen to when I think of music from 88. And now, again, as I listen to it, getting ready for the show, I'm like, I don't want to listen to this a lot more. All right. This is fine back in 1988, I think. I don't know what the hell is going on in this video, by the way. It's a love song, and the video opens up like you're watching a Planet Earth documentary. It's a bunch of animals climbing on each other and fish. It makes no sense. Then it starts showing old clips of couples from the 50s and 60s, I think. Fred Astaire's dancing. Betty Boop is in it. Babies are being born. It's really erratic. There's no way this made it on MTV because I don't remember ever seeing it in my life. I guess the band was too busy to be in the video, so they threw together a montage of National Geographic crap, and so they didn't have to do anything.
Were they the video on our ballad episode where the guy's on the couch and he's doing he's with the shrink?
Yeah, no. That's REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, there we go.
No, they're not even in the video. It's literally clips if you were like watching a Nature Channel show and then highlights of the 50s and 60s. Yeah. It made no sense. I read about this song, Nothing Says Healthy Relationship, quite like begging someone to stick around against their will. So I thought that was pretty good. It's the perfect soundtrack for when you're clinging on to a sinking ship and refusing to acknowledge that there's lifeboats.
Yeah.
All right. So who needs dignity when you've got power ballads, right?
That's there right.
There you go, Rob.
Okay. So, we're at my, okay.
Honorable mention.
And this is a good honorable mention. It is. Okay. It fits the criteria perfectly.
Okay. That's rare. So I'm excited. Oh. Like this. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's Fleetwood Mac.
It is.
Yeah. They had that little resurgence in 87, 88.
They did. And this is another one that, like, I, as a fourth grader, I'm not listening to Fleetwood Mac. Whereas my parents probably would have. Because, you know, they were a big band when my parents were younger. And now they're, you know, they're like.
Laurel still loves that.
Yeah.
What's the album, the biggest one they have?
Rumors.
Rumors. Yeah. She had that on CD for a long time.
It's really good. Loved it. It's a great album.
If you get in her car, she's got a playlist, and that's all you're going to get.
There's a little
lot of Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. So this is Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac. This week in 88, it was number 97. It would peak at number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100. It's from their 14th studio album. It was written by Kristen McVie, who also... She was the lead vocalist.
Yes, we can say rest in peace on that one.
That's right. Yeah. Widely acclaimed by music critics, they've called it peerless, without peers.
No, okay.
There you go. Bulletproof pop songwriting responds with warmth, empathy, and buoyancy, describing a kind of devotion so deeply felt that it produces a weightlessness in a person.
Ooh,
it's also been called carefully crafted, spare, and meticulously produced. There you go. So that's my honor.
That's it?
Because, I wasn't listening to it in 80. No? Not what have been.
You didn't listen to that one?
No.
Oh, see, I did. I listened to, that came out after, but the one before that was Little Lies. Oh
yeah, that one I remember. That was on one of our lists. Yeah.
So good. 87. It was our 87 draft.
And I probably listened to this because my parents had it on, because, again, it resonated with my parents. And
I mean, it sounds
I was fourth grade.
I
about Fleetwood Mac. Who's Fleetwood Mac?
I don't care.
Relax. She's the gal that sang with Tom Petty. I don't know.
All right.
Anyway.
Why are you getting so angry about it?
I don't know. I'm tired.
Right. Well, my honor. That's nice. All right. You know, people have come already 50 minutes into this thing, and you throw in, I'm tired. Yeah, thanks for the effort today, Rob.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. You don't get any, you get nothing for it. Jiminy Christmas. All right. Well, my honorable mention, like yours, is absolutely perfect, because not a song I listened to when it came out in 1988. In fact, I would have not even thought this song came out in 1988. I thought it came out much later than that, so. It's the end of the world.
Time I hear this song, I think of Tommy Boy.
Maybe I queued it up for that right here for you.
Oh.
Right? Six o'clock TV hour,
don't get caught in board time. Yeah, I love it.
So do you know what it is?
This is The End of the World Always Known. REM.
REM, yeah. Yes. So I was not in on the I think that was I was a little young. Maybe they were more collegey. I don't remember this a lot on like top 40 radio at the time. So Perfect honorable mention. I didn't hear it in 88. In fact, as you said, first time I ever heard REM at all was Losing My Religion in 91. And then Tommy Boy, Chris Farley classic when, you know, the lyrics hit and they both start, they shout the 6 o'clock TV hours and they don't know any of the rest of it. So, single was released in November of 1987. Wow. This is number 98 this week. So on its way off the hot 100. But of course, at its peak, it hit
69, dudes!
Man, twice this week, huh? The song is interpreted as a reflection of the chaotic and uncertain nature of contemporary society. That sounds like Michael Stipe. With the constant barrage of news, events, and information, the phrase, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine," has been interpreted as both a sense of impending doom and a feeling of acceptance or resignation to the changes happening in the world. That's a little bleak for me, but it's fun to sing too. My kids remember it now, not only from Tommy Boy, but Disney's Chicken Little. They played on that too. So my kids were small enough. Great song. Fun fact, song was included on the 2001 Clear Channel memo of songs thought to be lyrically questionable after the September 11th attacks. By the way, here is the other part of the song that everyone belts out. You don't know any part of the song. You'll still always say this part. You may not know who Leonard Bernstein is. Actually, I didn't know who Leonard Bernstein was, but it turns out he's a conductor.
Have you watched the movie?
No. I was going to say the only reason I know that is because I've seen previews for that Bradley Cooper movie.
It's actually really good.
It's got to be horrible.
It's not bad.
Now, everything about that trailer told me run as far away as possible. My wife
didn't like it.
I think I would rather watch Dances with Wolves. And I would rather poke my own eyeballs out than watch Dances with Wolves.
It's actually the way it's filmed is really cool. Story's a little different.
I cannot believe it.
But I thought.
I cannot watch that trailer.
Bradley Cooper's acting is really great.
I cannot see that trailer and go, oh, that's a movie I got to go watch. It's awful. Looking. So I will take your word
pretty
for
good.
It.
It's pretty good.
If we ever do a 2020s podcast and you make me watch it, then I'll watch it to review
perfect.
It.
Perfect. The first time
not,
we do it. Yeah.
I'm not going to do it anytime before.
We'll be in our 80s.
Yes. And then I'll deal with Bradley Cooper and I'll probably just take a nap. I'm going to sleep.
I'm tired.
Tell me when this crap is over.
I'm tired.
So that takes us to our number ones. I am excited to hear your number one. You've had some great songs today, so I'd be shocked to... Well, I'm not shocked. I think I know what your number one is.
There it is.
I think we might have the same... we can't have the same number one, but might be the same person.
Oh.
So here, let's see what you got. No, absolutely not. Oh, great. Did you do this in memoriam?
I did.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I did.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Plus, I thought you might go fake.
No. But plus, you made a comment earlier. You said that whatever song it was at the time, you said it sounded like the 87, 88 kind of. To me, the whole Dirty Dancing thing was a craze everywhere, and the whole soundtrack, every song on there was.
And to be fair, this song goes perfectly with our theme of cheese fries today. Hungry eyes, right? Perfect. So
anyway, this is Eric Carmen.
Carmen.
Hungry Eyes. Ooh. This week in 88, it was number 39. It would peak at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100. He was a former member of a band called the Raspberries.
Ooh, they're good.
Shut up. You don't even know.
What are you talking about? Shut up.
Oh, they're good.
You even listen to the Raspberries?
Yeah.
They have that song. Yeah. Have you ever heard that?
You're lying. You're making up crap.
Look it up.
Anyway, so they were a band, and then he went solo. This song was featured in Dirty Dancing, considered a power ballad.
This show's dedicated to the Raspberries now.
Okay. Written by, everybody's going to. Now watch, we're going to get 90 emails, people going, yeah, how do you not know who the Raspberries are? Written by songwriters Frank Previtt and John DiNicola. They also wrote "I've Had the Time of My Life."
No, really.
Also
good.
On that soundtrack. Yeah. Carmen was initially hesitant to produce a song for another film soundtrack because he believed that soundtrack music died, quote, horrible deaths. He was wrong about this one.
A lot of wrong.
Yeah. The song, only his second top 40 song of the 1980s, represented his biggest hit since All By Myself.
Oh, good one. And that's a good song, but I can't listen to it all the time. If you listen to it now, it's a little slower and somber than it should be.
Yeah.
But so, memorable.
And then sadly, on March 11th, just recently, Carmen's wife, Amy, announced that he had died in his sleep over the previous weekend. No cause of death was given. He was 74.
Well, you know what? Thank you to Eric Carmen for some good music for us from the 80s.
For a long time.
Put him at number one. Yeah. I would tell you that there were a couple other songs on your list. I probably would have had one above it.
Ooh.
But I still would have had that on my top seven. Yeah. So right. You did a good job.
All right. Thank
on
you.
That one. You did a good job. Actually, your whole list was good today.
Yeah.
I couldn't complain about one thing. And that's upsetting. Usually I like to have something to play with, and you give me nothing. You give me no ammo today.
Look at that. I got nothing.
It's almost like you picked the songs I would have picked just to go, oh, let's see if he likes this.
We're getting there. We traded spaces physically.
That's so I'll just announce it now. Next time we do a Billboard Hot 100 for a date, that's the way we're going to do it. I'm going to pick the 10 I think you would have picked from the numbers.
Okay.
And you're going to pick the 10 you think I would have picked.
That's fair.
And we're going to see what comes up with, because I'm going to have fun with that. For sure. So I'm going to find some real garbage.
Yeah. Dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire. Yeah, and you'll go, no, I like it. The elements in the background and the harmonicas are really good. So,
Just like you and the stupid raspberries.
Oh, they're good.
They're good. Stupid.
No, you just got to look them up. Once you hear the tune, you'll never forget it. Right?
Are you lying to me?
Takes, let's put the raspberries aside. Yeah. So
what's
I can
your
play
number one?
My number one.
Yeah.
My number one you're going to love. And it's going to be, you're just going to love it.
Is this Father Figure?
Ooh, yes, it is.
It's a weird song.
It's not that weird. You just want it to be weird.
Oh, tell me this is...
Tell me this doesn't sound like 1988.
Father Figure?
Chorus.
I will be your father.
You couldn't go anywhere not hear this song.
Weird. Yeah, that's true. He was everywhere, though.
This is cheese fries droppable right here.
Yeah.
I'm out. Onto the roller rink. Let's go. Let's go hit those moguls. I'm good at those. I like the up and down. It makes my tummy feel weird. So, all right. Well, as you alluded to, this is Father Figure by George Michael.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the most memorable song on my list. And by that, I mean it takes me back to being a kid, probably more than any other song today. Song was off the absolute monster solo album, Faith. And the single was released December 28th of 1987. A Father Figure is appreciated for its emotional depth, melodic appeal, universal themes, and George Michael's artistic prowess, all of which contribute to its enduring popularity. So
that's an awful.
It hit number one on the Hot 100 on February 27th and stayed there for 2 weeks. Although it was number eight this week, it had begun its descent back down the charts. Top 10 in many other countries, as the song was a huge success all over the world. Father Figure was originally meant to be a mid-tempo dance track, but after editing the song's initial recording, it turned into a ballad, and Michael says it was the most original sounding thing on the entire album.
Oh.
So he reworked it. The song is about loving someone in every aspect, wanting to be that everything to that special someone's object of affection. One review said, despite being released in the late 80s, Father Figure has an immortal quality that transcends its era. Its smooth production and timeless themes ensure that it remains relevant and enjoyable for new generations of listeners. Another reviewer stated, it's like a soap opera plot condensed into a sultry ballad, complete with enough innuendo to make your grandparents blush.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Father Figure.
Hey, little girl, is it daddy? That's what it feels
69,
like.
69, dude!
Oh, Father Figure.
Father Figure. Gross.
Gross. That's not gross.
Now people have to explain things.
Nobody's explaining anything. All right.
Humphreys Girl's mom is going, well, girls.
That probably was almost the 20 best songs on that top 100 this week. I looked at the whole countdown. We probably got all of them.
Yeah.
Faith was on there from George Michael. Really good song.
I only had one song that didn't make my list.
And what was it?
Get Out of My Dreams and Get Into My Car.
That is great. How did that not make
your
list?
I didn't have... All the other ones are good.
Isn't that Billy Ocean?
Billy Ocean.
Oh, that should have been on
It was number five this week.
Yeah, it's tough.
I didn't know where to put it. I didn't like it as much as some of the other ones.
Yeah, there was a couple you probably could have dumped for that one. That's a really good song.
I know, that's a really good song.
Faith really was the number one song this week, wasn't it?
I believe it was not.
It was,
I believe it was Man in the Mirror.
Oh, it was Man in the Mirror. How did that not make it? I'm looking in the mirror.
I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah. Who didn't like that song? Everybody loves that song.
No, I didn't like it.
Faith wasn't on. Was it not on? Faith was 87, I guess, then, right?
Faith was in there.
It was on this countdown.
Yeah, it was on this countdown.
It was further down.
Yeah. Because I would have picked it. Because I remember looking at it. I was like, I would have picked it.
Oh, it must have been on my side.
Yeah.
But it was on. And then I already picked Father Figure. Can't double up the George.
That's right.
So did you have no other songs?
Nope. I had this weird song that I was going to put on, possibly a cut. It was called I Can't Break Away. It's by a band called Big Pig.
Oh, Big Pig.
And it was on Bill and Ted's.
No.
And when I heard it, I was like, oh, That's where I've heard it. It's the only place I've ever heard it, but it was on there. When We Was Fab.
Oh, okay.
George Harrison. I remember that one. And then Prove Your Love was the other Taylor Dane song that was on this.
But the one you played was the good one.
That's just the better one.
Big Pig, not better than the Raspberries. I'll tell you that much.
Stupid raspberry.
All right.
Now watch. I'm going to go Google it tonight. And I'm like, oh, I know that song.
Oh, yeah.
He was right.
Okay. Anyway, well, if you'd like to contact Rob and I, which we always look forward to, you can find us on all social media sites, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, you name it. We're there. And we're on YouTube. You can see our shiny, happy faces every week. Super terrific, happy fun, as Rob likes to say. Mm-hmm. And if you, for some reason, can't find us, which I think is impossible, just Google Total 80s and 90s Recall, and all of those locations will pop up, and you will see everything you want to and need to see.
And you need it.
Need it.
That's right. You can also fire up the old Gateway desktop computer.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you ever have one of them?
I did. It was in the cow box.
That's right. It was.
Yes, it was.
You can hit the dial-up internet and find us in the old World Wide Web.
Oh, we should have that.
If anybody knows, that's www. Yeah. At the website, our website, we have a website. It's called Totally 80s and 90s Recall at podbean.com. You can also bust out your AOL, Hotmail, or Yahoo accounts. Do you have any one of those?
I have a Hotmail still.
Still have it.
I still use it.
Good on you, man.
That's how people know I'm old.
Yeah. And when I'm like communicating with parents at school, I can always tell the Gen Xers when see their, and they're still rocking Hotmail.
If you're super old enough, luckily mine is an okay Hotmail, mm-hmm. but some people are like, why does yours still say big man penis at hotmail.com? And you're like, oh, my bad. I made that address in college.
That's right.
You're a doctor now. Change your email address.
And actually, I was talking to the tech guy, and he was saying that some of these emails are no longer... They're not compatible with, and they're having to change them. Anyway, so you can bust out the old AOL, Hotmail, and Yahoo accounts and email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com. You can ask questions about current or previous episodes, suggest future show ideas, or simply just say hi. We do read them.
You do.
We look forward to hearing from all of our loyal listeners throughout the land. And for all you MySpace folks out there, you're out of luck.
Boy, I tell you what, your pop culture reference today.
Excellent! Hey, look at that.
You are kicking butt and taking names. So, do you have any closing thoughts for us today?
I do have a closing
thought. Anything profound?
Well,
anything about the raspberries?
No, but...
You have two things you can talk about here. Raspberries and cheese fries. So make it relevant.
Fine. I'll talk about getting older.
Okay.
As I get older, my ability to... I saw this quote.
Okay.
My ability to remember song lyrics from the 80s far exceeds my ability to remember why I walked into the kitchen. Okay. I find this to be true.
Yeah.
One might say I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
I like it.
You like that? Yeah. And then here's something to think about.
My goodness.
Like that? All right. And here's something to think about. 2000s, I think either your wife or your sister-in-law posted this. And I thought it put a little lump in my stomach.
Ooh.
Here's something to think about. 2000s songs, so songs from the 2000s, are now as old as 80s songs were in the 2000s.
Oh, yeah. Does that make everybody feel good?
I don't like that.
You don't like it?
I do not like it.
Anyway. Well, you don't have to like it. You know what you will like, though?
What?
Once you cue them up after the show, the raspberries.
No,
all right.
Geez.
Well, despite Rick Astley's promise, we are going to give up on this episode. We hope you've enjoyed a look at our favorite songs for this week back in 1988, according to the Billboard Hot 100 chart. If you like today's musical choices, and who wouldn't? They were all outstanding. We have provided links to Spotify, Apple, Amazon. We have a bunch of playlists in the show notes. You can experience all these great songs in full. Just when you're driving to work, after you listen to our show, mm-hmm. so maybe you're driving back from work, put the playlist on and you'll be like, oh my goodness, whatever grade you were in, however old you are in 1988, all of that will just it'll come rushing back.
Yeah.
I promise. Finally, we'd like to thank all of our listeners, whether first timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I. Hopefully we were able to give you an hour or so of some laughs, great memories, cheese fries. Maybe we made you hungry. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes. Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
What do I need to get ready for next time?
Ooh, we are, the movie hand will be back in the studio. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
He gets lonely out in the yard by himself. We're going to be doing...
out in the yard by himself.
We're going to be doing the 40th anniversary of Beverly Hills Cop. So, Axel Foley.
40 years.
Came out in 1984, Rob. So, just a little math. Quick, done fast.
That's cool. So, that's crazy.
40 years.
40 years.
So, 1984, we'll go over to Beverly Hills and see, does Axel fit in with the local police department. I think that's, I think what we're going to find out there is that maybe he doesn't. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you got anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Do you have a fancy goodbye?
I do not have a fancy goodbye.
Well, okay then.
All right. Peace out.
What?
I don't know.
Raspberries,
Rob. They're not
someone's going to come with the raspberries.
They're going to see a hit on their list.